Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Welcome to St. Stephen's today. We are so delighted that you can join us on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? We come like Abraham, Sarah, and John the Baptist, people with vision. We come like Job, Thomas, and the Samaritan woman, people with questions. We come like Moses, Jeremiah, and Mary, people with self-doubts. We come like Joshua, Deborah, and Stephen, people with courage. We come like David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul, people with regrets. We come like Hagar, Uriah, and the Syrophoenician woman, people with wisdom from the margins. We come like Rebecca and Samuel, like Hosea and Esther, like Nathaniel and Martha, like John, Mark, and Priscilla, people with a part to play in the story of faith. If you light a candle for worship, let's do that together now and remember that Jesus came to be the light of the world, showing us the way back to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, you have called us together to worship just as we are. We cannot pretend to be what we are not, for you have made us and know us through and through. In our weakness, we come with prayers for strength. In our strength, we come with prayers of thanksgiving. Open our hearts, that we might pray with honesty and await your answers with renewed faith. May our praise and our worship be unrestrained. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the prayer of confession. God of love and of grace, you know the secrets of our hearts, how blind we are to our own faults, yet harsh in judging others. How swift we are to take for gain, yet slow to give for others. How proud we are of our success, yet grudging in our praise of others. Remember, O God, your tender care and love unfailing. Do not remember our sins and offences, but remember us in your goodness, in accordance with your endless mercy. And let your mercy do its work in our hearts, making us kinder, more generous with our love, and our lives more courageous as we follow you each day. We ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We are assured of God's grace. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Because God loves us and through Christ's death, we are redeemed, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading this week comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride and bride against mother-in-law. Then he turned to the crowd. When you see clouds coming in from the west, you say, "Storm's coming," and you're right. And when the wind comes out of the south, you say, "This'll be a hot one," and you're right. Frauds. You know how to tell a change in the weather, so don't tell me you can't tell a change in the season, the God season we're in right now. Hear this reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 29 through to chapter 12, verse 2. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who under torture refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on? It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he ploughed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
I wanted to thank Diane and the committee here for allowing me to come today and to lead you in worship. I hope Diane's having a wonderful holiday with her husband and her children, and the wedding went off without a hitch. I know she was a little concerned with having to cry through it. But I wanted to thank you all for inviting me here today. I've been a lay worship leader with the United Church of Canada now for about 18 years, and it's a real pleasure for me to be here today. I'm not much of a TV watcher. I will watch the occasional movie, and sometimes I might binge a series, but I'm more of a book person. But the one thing that I used to love watching on TV was the Summer Olympics. Whenever they came around in their process of the timing, I loved watching the synchronized swimmers and the divers and the races and the cyclists. I loved all of that. Not much of a winter person, so the Winter Olympics didn't hold that love for me as the Summer Olympics did. But when they decided, the last Olympics, to hold the Olympics during the middle of the pandemic, I wasn't very impressed. And so I didn't sit down and stick myself in front of the TV watching the coverage. On occasion, I would see a news clip on my computer and say, oh, okay, well, I'll watch that race. And I would click on and I would watch it. The one that I did click on to watch that I was absolutely shocked was during the Paralympics. You know, the Olympics after the Olympics that doesn't get as big a billing, not as much news coverage, although these athletes train just as hard as the Olympians do, they don't really get that fanfare that the Olympians do. Anyway, I watched this Paralympic race of a blind runner. I didn't even know that that existed. Now, because the degree to be legally blind differs from country to country, all of the runners had to be blindfolded. Now, the blindfolded runner is tethered to a sighted guide. They have this little tether that's about this long, loops onto your fingers at both ends, so the runners are right beside each other in one lane. The guide will spur the other, his runner on. He will tell him how far he's run. They'll tell him how far he's got to go. But most importantly, he keeps the runner in his lane. So the runner no longer has to worry about veering off and running into something. He knows that he can trust that guide to keep him where he's supposed to be, and he can just focus on the race. Now, it wasn't until 2012 that the guides for these runners were actually also given medals for their accomplishment of getting that runner over the finish line and possibly taking first, second, or third. To be a guide, it's pretty selfless because it isn't about them. It's about somebody else achieving their dream. Running blind is about having to focus on a guide that also matches you in consistency and speed and mental drive. They also have blind cycling. It's a two-seater bike with the front seat occupied by a sighted pilot, is what he's called. They steer the bike, they change the gears, they do pedal, but the pace of the bike is set by the cyclist behind, who has an affirmity of some kind. They set the pace of the race. These blind Paralympians train just as hard as an Olympian does, and they're a perfect example of how we are to run the race marked out for us. In Hebrews, we heard, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." This is the race we are called to run as Christians. We are called to tether to God with our prayers and our words and our actions and step out blindly on a journey by faith. As Christian faith is the bedrock on which we build our lives and our communities. Faith allowed this congregation to hold fast to the conviction that God is always present. We trust in the plan which he put before us. It seems like only yesterday that Reverend Phil retired and COVID hit in full force, and this church had to make a decision on how to proceed with services. They had to listen and sort through the processes and then make decisions based on faith. You had to listen to your hearts. You had to listen for the voice of God letting you know that it was the right direction for this church. Listen for the voice of God saying that this was the way he had chosen for this church to move forward. You had to trust in God's timing, that he's got this. You had to set your own desires and wants aside and open yourselves up to hear God speak. And then after you made the decision, you had to have complete faith, the assurance of things hoped for. When I used to have a fridge that I could stick magnets on, I had made this little magnet on a business card, and it was a quote that I looked at daily. Carolyn Miss writes, "All choices made with faith have the full power of heaven behind them." The cyclists and those runners all have to have complete faith in their pilot or guide. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By listening and trusting in the choices that we make, we honor the path that God has chosen for us. Our faith is what brings us here. Our faith is what carries us out the doors. And our faith is what we are called to share when we walk out those doors. I would like you for a moment to think about Thomas. Everyone calls him Thomas the Doubter. I don't think Thomas was really a doubter. I think Thomas did have faith. Thomas was a wanter. He wanted to experience what the other disciples had experienced. He wanted to be part in seeing the risen Christ. Do you recall what Jesus said to Thomas? "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Why is it blessed to believe without seeing, without touching, without hearing from the Messiah's mouth, as it were, for ourselves? And the answer lies in the nature of seeing and in the nature of faith. There's many people that say seeing is believing, but I think that's very far from the truth. In fact, the opposite is more often the case. Believing is seeing. Believing something opens up to us the possibility of experiencing it. And if you wait to see something, you might be waiting a long time before you believe in it. Like Thomas, we want proof, we want signs, we'd like God to prove that he exists, that there truly is another dimension, a heaven. We're sort of like King Herod in that movie Jesus Christ Superstar, where he says, Jesus Christ, if you're divine, turn my water into wine. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. We'd like God to rearrange the stars in heaven to say, I exist, preferably in English, as a sign that there really is a God that loves us. But I want you to think about all the people who have believed in God and Jesus without ever having seen him as the disciples saw him, and who have claimed that they have felt Christ's presence in their lives, had prayers and the prayers of others answered, and then helped through hard times because of their faith in God's promises. Well, Hebrews listed a lot of them, starting with the people that crossed the Red Sea. God wired us to be believers, to have faith, to ask questions, to inquire, to think, to sort out. And during our lifetime, we will have many questions for God. And there will be times in our lives where we ask far more questions than usual. We might even challenge God. But we do not require the experience of the disciples to have faith in God, faith in Christ and his resurrection, to receive from him the blessings of the power that God has given him. There is a time in all of our lives where God says to us, O ye of little faith, stop your doubting. It is time to believe and experience the power of faith. It's time to know that I've got this. It's time to live as though tomorrow at 10 o'clock the Son of Man will arrive. It's time to live each and every day, each moment of our lives being his hands and his feet. It's not okay to say, well, tomorrow I'm going to remember to hold that door open. Or tomorrow's the day that I'm going to try to help somebody. Because tomorrow may never come. When we live a life with Christ as our center, with Christ as our guide or our pilot, we have placed our treasure, our love, our faith for the divine in our hearts. Think back to the book of Job. Job went on doubting, complaining, and questioning God for 38 chapters, and God finally got tired of his doubting and said, "Be quiet, Job. I'm tired of your wailing and your doubting. Be quiet and believe." Our Luke scripture is not really focused on ripping families apart. It's one of the scriptures, it's one of the toughest scriptures as Christians to actually like to read. When I first read that scripture, I thought, oh boy, this is a doozy for this Sunday. Families against families, fathers against sons, mothers against daughters. A scripture about division. But it's not really focused on families being ripped apart as much as it is as a warning that to be a follower of Christ, it will take faith. There will be people in your lives that will not like that you are a follower, and they will use every opportunity to change your mind, and eventually, they will just walk away. There will be division, but the ultimate gift of grace that you will receive in the end far surpasses anything that you will go through. Be ready to take your seat at the table. He's prepared a feast. At this table, Christ is the head. But where is the head of the table? I know what pops into my head is the picture of the Last Supper, but that's just an artist's rendition. We won't know. We won't know who we're sitting beside. And if you were here last Sunday, you would have heard Foster read from Luke 12 that Jesus will come as a servant and will come and wait on us. Jesus calls us to make changes in how we live as people of faith. Jesus calls all God's people to live in a spirit of humility, to be so secure in the knowledge of God's love for us that we don't have a sense or a need to promote ourselves. We have not seen the hands or feet or sides of Christ, yet we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Our creed points out our belief. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live in respect to creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. And we are blessed because we have not seen, and yet we have come to believe. There is power in believing as Jesus wanted us to believe. There is a power in faith that is not weighed down and slowed down by doubts. Those cyclists and the runners who rely on their pilots and guides can't have any doubts on their partners. And the guides and pilots can also not have doubts about their runners and cyclists. Jesus says, "Great is your faith." He said that over 100 times in the Bible, but there is not one place where he said, "Great is your doubting. Great is your disbelief." 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7, he says, "If you have the power of faith and do not doubt, you will be able to move mountains, do great works of love, and move mountainous burdens." Well, today, August the 14th, you're at a starting block of a great race. You're either tethered to your guide or your pilot. And as Christ is your guide or pilot, the race that you will set on will be a journey of your lifetime. My youngest daughter, Sarah, and I'm going to say youngest because although she is 30 and just about 31, when she was in her early 20s, late teens, I think, I can't remember the year now, she had signed up to do missionary work down in this Texas through the Catholic Church. She had everything ready. She had her passport. She had her, there was no paperwork required because she was going down to do work of the church. She had fundraised. She was all set to go. So her friend drove her up, dropped her off at a exorbitantly early flight time. And when she got into the area to show her passport, they asked how long she was going down for. And she said, "Well, I'll be there for, 10 months. And they said, "Oh, what are you going down for?" And she said, "To work." They took her into a back room. They fingerprinted her. They took her picture. She said she felt like a criminal. After many frantic phone calls to me and me to other people, we discovered that depending on the airport you went to, depended on whether they let you cross and fly down. Friends that she knew that left out of the Edmonton airport came through and said, "Yes, I'm going to be working for the church." And when Sarah said she was going to be working for the church, they automatically in Calgary assumed that she was in a highly paid position and needed to have certain paperwork. Long story short, she did get home. Her friend that dropped her off hadn't left Calgary, so they picked her back up, and she spent the day upset, didn't go shopping, let them go and do their thing, and she stayed in the car and prayed and cried. And when she got home, I was worried about her faith journey, and I shouldn't have, because I knew that God had this. He had other things in mind for her to journey on. At the beginning of her thought to do this stint in Texas, after she'd already done a stint across Canada, I had doubts about it. But I also trusted that God was going to make happen what had to happen. If she was to go down to Texas for a year, then that's what it was going to be. He had other plans for her, and her faith now has not wavered. And so, here you are. You're at the starting line. Today, you're going to leave this service, and you're going to step out on a journey. So as you line up on your mark, get set, go. Amen.
faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign.
Good morning, everybody. I am proposing that we do a responsive prayer this morning. So after each section, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and then you can say, hear our prayer. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the amazing summer weather we've been having, for the beaches and warm ocean waters, time to travel and time to visit. You have created an amazing environment for us to enjoy here in our community of Qualicum Beach and Parksville. Thank you. Thank you. We pray for all who visit and travel. May they find rest when they are here. And Lord, help us show them welcome and kindness. We pray as well this morning for our minister Diane and her family as they holiday. Keep them safe, and may they return to us at the end of August refreshed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for those who are sick, suffering, and alone. Bless those who are unable to celebrate your creation at this time because of poor health, depression, anxiety, grief, poverty. Move us to become more aware of our surroundings and to respond generously to the suffering. I would urge you now to name those who are on your heart, known to you and known to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Spirit, we ask for your inspiration, and inspiration for our leaders, locally, nationally, and around the world. We cry out for peace and ask that you guide our leaders into right ways. Show them how to stop wars and how to build coalitions and peaceful compromise. Help our local leaders find a path to approving housing approaches, both temporary and permanent. And I would ask you to add your own petitions at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers and our petitions to you, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the three in one, as we say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for the many ways in which you give to the work and ministry of this church. Let's pray together, dedicating these gifts back to God's purposes. Ever-present God, with this offering we present also ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, and our resolve to walk in your way. Accept us and our offering, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our blessing today comes from a man named Roy Lesson. May the highest things, those things that lift your spirit and bring you joy, may the deepest things, those that enrich your heart and strengthen your love, and the surest things, those things that really matter and fill your life with meaning, may each of these things come to you in abundance from Jesus Christ, the one who is the perfect fulfillment of them all. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
My yes to you today. I choose to hear your voice and live today. I choose to follow you.
Counselor, ever.